A long, long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
Coercion. Charged with stealing the fabled Fate of Alderaan from an upcoming auction, the trio of Skip, Anarchy, and Jen are forced to decide on a course of action. Will the combined mental power of the Fortuna twins be enough to overcome this insurmountable task? Or will Jenny Ford be forced to pull this reluctant, chaotic duo to success? Welcome back, everybody, to another fun Flight Risk podcast episode. As always, I am your GM, Dwayne. We are here for episode 4 of Fortuna's 5, our little adventure on the Smuggler's. This stuff is getting kind of hectic. We're getting our plans in place, and we all know plans are just a nice little list of things to go wrong, so I'm excited to see how things go sideways for the players today. We're going to start with Velvet. Velvet, how are you?
Doing well, Dwayne. How are you doing?
I'm excited. I'm glad to be back in the saddle and get this game going.
We're happy to see you back.
All right. Who are you bringing to our game?
I'm playing Anarchy Fortuna. Clearly the most stable character we've had on Flight Risk to balance everyone else out.
Someone's got to be that middle ground that holds everything steady, and that's Anarchy, right? Our question for this episode is, if your character could step away from Flight Risk and exist in another TV show or movie, where would you love to see them show?
You know, I figure if we're going for a fantasy setting, Anarchy would probably fall into Castlevania. But if we're keeping up with, our crazy bombastic style, she'd probably go into JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I feel like she would fit in well there.
Very cool. I can see that. So we need some
mask and all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. We need fan art of that, people. Come on now.
Be the part 9 baddie. Funimation, get at me.
Nice. Second, we have Leslie. Leslie, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. Cool. Glad to see you after 5 long weeks.
It felt like ages and ages. It's 5 weeks and dog weeks, so it all translates. So, Leslie, who are you bringing tonight to the game?
I continue as Jenny Ford.
Very cool. And if Jenny Ford could step away from our little universe and pop somewhere else in pop culture, where would they pop?
I don't know where she would want to pop, but I'd want to see her in Remington Steel.
Can't go wrong there.
I figure she's crotchety. She'd just be like a semi-recurring character that just gets annoyed with.
Nice throwback. I haven't thought about Remington Steel in forever.
Oh, I love Remington Steel.
Classic.
But I'm old, so what do I know?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being old. It's experienced and wise and those other lies they tell us.
You say that while being younger than both Dwayne and I.
I know, I love that.
I have an old soul.
Yes. As anyone who loves Remington Steel needs to be.
Doesn't really swing, doesn't really call out to that young generation, young Pierce Brosnan. I mean, granted, if people saw a young Pierce Brosnan, they would fall in love. Who wouldn't? It's a handsome
he
man.
He was glorious.
And now you see him in Mamma Mia trying to sing. It's like you shake your head and go, what happened to your beard?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't listen to him, but you can still look at him.
Yes. Watch it on mute, folks.
Oh, he's so good as the bad guy in The Gentleman. Well, kind of a bad guy in The Gentleman. It's a very different sort of role for him.
He's not The Gentleman.
He's not one of The Gentlemen. He's delightful is what
he is.
He's
a dastardly ne'er-do-well.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to our Pierce Brosnan podcast. This is episode 37.
Pierce Brosnan appreciation.
All right. Last player, but definitely not least. Kyle, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Dwayne?
I'm good. I'm just, my mind is now just drifting into the beautiful eyes of Pierce Brosnan, so I might be distracted for the first 10 minutes, but I'll try to bring it back in. What player are you bringing to our game tonight, Kyle?
I will be playing Skip Fortuna. And I just realized that I got Pierce Brosnan and Hugh Grant mixed up in my head.
Oh, for The Gentleman. I was trying to think, because I've seen the posters and he wasn't
Pierce
on
Brosnan's
it.
Not in The Gentleman.
was like, oh, they, sadly. I thought it was like a surprise. Like, I didn't see him on the posters.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy in something recently, so I just assumed that I was picturing the right thing.
Exactly.
He's been around a while. He's been a bad guy in something.
Probably his own life.
All right. If Skip Fortuna could leap off our little universe here to somewhere else, where would you want to see Skip hanging out?
In Pierce Brosnan's house. No. With Hugh Grant.
Oh, my.
So I think Skip would fit in perfectly in Miami Vice because he already doesn't wear socks.
Yeah.
And he dresses in that suave 1980s style. But I'm kind of thinking that, like, this game is kind of already Miami Vice. So maybe something totally different could be like Mork and Mindy, where Skip would be that great character to add as like the basement dwelling John Stamos style character in Mork and Mindy. There you go. That's sort of it. And I just miss Robin Williams. So
fair enough.
And where would we find Dwayne in another TV show?
When you guys were talking, I was thinking it would be hilarious for me because I always default to the Count because that's the yep. who I voice the most. I would just love to have the Count to replace the Count on Sesame Street.
But do you still voice the Count?
Yes.
Oh, good. Then yes, you can voice the Count on Sesame Street.
I only voice now the Count and Pip, the Astromech, which really is just my voice changing to beeps and sounds anyway. So really, I only voice just the Count.
I want to see a Muppet Dawutan.
That would be adorable.
Yes.
And that'd be like the best thing.
But God, it'd have to be huge though, right? I mean...
Well, look at Sweetums.
That's true.
They make the big ones.
Can be like possible. Bigger Bird.
We begin in the suite at the Meltdown Cafe that the madam had procured the five of you the night before. And are any of your characters early risers, like 5 a.m. type people?
I mean, to rise early, there's the assumption that we would have to have gone to bed in the first place.
So 5 a.m., there'd be somebody awake?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So at 5 a.m., we'll say Anarchy is at least awake. Is Jen or Skip moving about? For some reason, I assume Skip sleeps in.
I think Jen would be awake, but not in that kind of like up and moving around, just in that laying there, eyes open, staring at, you know, the dark tea time of the soul.
Just reevaluating all the life choices that led you here.
I was going to say like the exact same thing, evaluating your life choices. All right, cool. And Skip, awake or asleep?
I don't think Skip went to sleep. I think he's got strewn corners cut off paper all around him because it's the Star Wars type of paper, right? You have to have the corners cut off the pages.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got papers everywhere, ink all over his hands and the tips of his leku, because he's been like writing notes and plans and trying to be a forward thinker for the first time.
Growth.
And he's like, I just can't figure out a way to get the 30 gallon bag of chocolate into the plan.
All right.
Have you thought about eating some so it's less than 30 gallons?
It has to be there for a reason.
All right, as you guys are minding your own business, you could smell from the little kitchenette area what smells like bacon and breakfast being prepared. If you look over, you see that Lo is there with an apron on, and he's just cooking away breakfast. Just minding his own business. He probably has some headphones on, bobbing his head to whatever music he's listening to. It's just part of his morning routine. He gets up early to start driving his cab, but he's on license with you guys in 12-hour increments.
Is he making breakfast for everyone or just for him?
Oh no, it's every. If you guys look over, you see on the little air on the counter, there's some eggs. He's cooking up bacon. There's toast already laid out. Some orange juice. He's just bobbing his head, cooking away. It's, you know what Divitonians do in the morning.
I didn't realize Divitonians would be a morning people, but you know why not?
We don't deserve the Divitonians.
Yeah,
we don't.
I gave it a lot of thought about the Divitonians the other day, and I figured they're like a Silhouette Zero character, and that makes me think of Shadra fans. And Shadra fans have like multiple hearts, and they only sleep like 3 hours a day. So I figured Divitonians are probably in that vein. They probably have like two or three hearts, something like that.
That's what makes them great cabbies.
Yeah, they only really need to sleep for like 2 hours. So they can pull 22-hour shifts, no problem.
Also, when they have that first heart attack, they have a backup.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then they patch up that one, and then they can have another.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It just cycle through.
Yeah. Is right. He listening to easy listening on the HoloNet radio?
Yeah, I mean, he's just bobbing around, so he's probably listening to something to relax. His little morning music routine. If you guys look
it's just
around,
tuna music.
There is no Azra. She has slipped out. There is a note on the table, and it lets you guys know that she had to go in. She still works, you know, for the madam, so she's going into work like normally. But if you guys need her, you guys have her comm code, and you can give her a call. And she's excited to be part of, you know, a gang. She's pumped. Lo turns around and sees you guys all kind of awake.
Hey, breakfast to serve. What's on the agenda today?
Oh, today. That's right. And he starts going through this ream of paper trying to find notes. He finally comes up with one and he's like, we need to get something appraised. Appraiser. We need to get something appraiser.
Appraise the appraiser because we have no leverage currently.
All right, okay, so,
I believe we need to identify the correct appraiser. We were given a list of several, if I remember correctly.
Right. Yes, I have that somewhere in here.
Sure. Yeah, if Anarchy takes a look at the list that the madam gave you guys and does a quick little cross-reference to what she was able to rip off the computer, you can see that there is one name that shows up on both of the lists. And that name is Karek Jotham. And he is a jeweler from Nar Shaddaa. Wouldn't take much to believe that that is the person at least doing the praising for this function.
And that was Karek Jotham?
Karech.
Correct.
Yeah, Karech. C-H. K-E-R-E-C-H. Then Jotham. J-O-T-H-A-M.
Hey, I actually spelled Jotham right. That's the Joestar you're going up against in 9.
Oh. Jojo. Try to limit my memes this episode.
Can I kind of, I want to take a look at the name. I mean, I've been mooching around Nar Shaddaa as kind of a quasi-private eye hired muscle kind of figure. Is there any reason I would recognize who this is?
I mean, yeah, you've spent most of it for a while here. So I would say you would definitely know that this person is the underworld appraiser guy. When things are not on the up and up, he is the one that is generally called in to do appraisals. He's not the type of guy you would see at a actual, like, formal auction or something like that that's actually legitimate. But when it's the underworld, he's the one that they call on. He's respected and trusted by all the shady, all the wrong people trust him.
What is he?
Race, he is a, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, Ichani.
Like the yogurt?
Yes, he's
delicious. I think that's Chobani.
He's Greek.
Slightly sour.
Yeah. It's Echani. They're white skinned, I guess.
They're yogurt skinned?
Yes. Full of probiotics.
Yes, he's very healthy. He's good for your digestion.
Okay. Do I know if he has like He's a jeweler, I assume he has his own storefront. Does he have partners, family?
Give me a knowledge, like, underworld roll, and I'll see how much you actually know about this individual.
My difficulty, please.
That's just going to be a 2. I mean, you've been around for a while. Your job was dealing with these type of people.
Mm-mm. Dos successos.
All right, cool. So, yeah, you would definitely know that he has a building he works out of normally, where he doesn't just appraise jewels. He's actually a jewelry designer as well. He makes things, and he also appraises. So he works in the Smiley Jewel, is what his place is called.
The Smiley Jewel, as in a jewel that is smiley?
Yeah, it's like it basically like a really simple happy face, but all the teeth are different varieties of jewels. It's a really nice sign. His kid made it. He loves it.
Excellent.
He has a child.
Yes, yes. Children are never safe on this show, so we'll see what happens. Well, to be fair, the last child that got threatened, that was the Count doing it, and our players didn't really do that.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't remember any players threatening kids.
Except for Doric taking out that poor girl in the front row and making her, giving her the opportunity to win the whole contest.
Well, that was an accident.
I do remember that one.
Yeah,
sure, an accident.
Well, to be fair, he did tackle a pregnant woman, too, so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. So, well, Doric's not here, so the kids are safe.
Yep, the kids are safe.
Doric's that uncle. You don't trust him with the kids.
All right, so I'll run down the information. Like, you know, he's downtown, Southwest Street, this, that, and the other thing. He does fancy himself a designer as well as an appraiser. He's well-connected, thusly probably well-protected. But he's got a storefront, so you could pretty easily meet him. Small business, you know. Takes pride in his work and his extortion.
Lo comes up to you guys, gives everybody a plate of eggs and bacon and toast.
No. We do not start our day without a healthy, nutritious, fully rounded breakfast. You know what they say? It's the most important meal. Hey, it's the most important meal of the day. You don't start with a breakfast, your whole day goes downhill. You start hot. You start hot with a breakfast, your day goes uphill from there. All right? Now, everybody finish up. Finish your plates. Come on now.
Skip takes notes. Breakfast, important.
I like this studious Skip Fortuna we're getting.
Jen waits until Lo is serving someone else and tips something into her orange juice.
Hey, whatever gets you through the day.
Yeah.
Lo does not judge it.
Oh, but Jen does.
Ah.
Little did you know, Lo had already put something in the orange juice.
Exactly.
So it's a little stronger than
exactly.
Normal.
Lo knows you, so yeah, when you go to sip it, you realize, oh, you made yourself a double.
But I'm dealing with twins, so
that makes sense.
It's legit.
It's called the Fortuna Special now for you.
And we should find out who the auctioneer is.
The auctioneer is Kadai Boabab.
Like the tree?
Sure.
You're just getting these from a random name generator, aren't you?
Yes.
Because I've tried to figure out how Karech Jotham fits into some sort of name play for the adventure we're working on, and there's no Ninja Turtles or Power Rangers.
I don't know.
That anywhere.
That name does. If I don't have a name for you, then that's me pulling off the random list. If I click with a name.
It's hard to tell the difference.
It's, you know, it's that professional unprofessionalism I'm going for. All right.
Tell us about our auctioneer.
All right. So this gentleman is actually new to Nar Shaddaa. This is the first auction he's actually running. He was brought in by the Porg. And that's the Porg's name still has weight, even though he may just be a floating corpse. And when it became suggested by his office that this person would do the job, they rightly let him in, and he's going to be running this first time in Nar Shaddaa.
Do we know what he is?
I don't know. I did not have
Why do you always care what they are? It's so racist.
Because I like to know where to address my comments.
Oh, I didn't
know. You're like, where are the nipples?
I don't know. No, I'm pretty sure that's Skip's role.
No, Skip only looks people in the eye. Always.
But are nipples just the eye of the abdomen?
He's a Quexto. He's Quorn on his mother's side, Zecto on his father's side.
You know. Does he have forearms?
Yes, of course he does. It makes auctioning very easy. He's able to point at multiple people, so it works out.
See, his forearms and four chins. It's just great.
Majestic chins. All right, so you have your auctioneer and you have your appraiser. Breakfast is done. Lo throws everything into the little dishwashing unit.
Gunk. So, where we go?
Well, the auctioneer is not local, so it's not like we can go stop by his place easily. You want to go ahead and start with Kretch?
If we could find out what ship he's on, this Kodai Boabob, we could ensure that he gets refused entry to the planet.
Derailed, as it were. Have you ever run an auction before?
I don't see that it's very hard. You say, here is the thing. Who wants to pay money for the thing? Will you pay more than that person for the thing? It is a nice thing.
All right.
Ta-da.
I think the ta-da was my favorite part.
And he said it with such verve, too.
So, yeah, I mean, if you guys wanted to attack that way, then, yeah, I guess your course of action would be to get to the Porgar's droid and see where that guy's coming in from. They would know.
Well, again, is the Porg local?
Yeah. Everyone else is from Narsha. I think the plant lady is not, but everyone else has been here for a while.
Well, plant lady likes plants. Narshada is not exactly known for plants, so fair enough. Would I have an idea of where we could meet up with the Porg, or at least representative entities there for?
Yeah, you know that he has a bunch of holdings down at the ports. Anything that comes in and out of Narshada, he kind of knows about it. That's kind of his bread and butter. So there are definitely places you can go to make contact either with him or at least his systems or his people.
Do you want to actually talk to the Porg, or do you want to circumvent?
We could go to the Port Authority.
Maybe do it remotely and blame it on someone else?
That doesn't seem an unfair option. You seem to have a way with technology. Hey, Lo, you want to take us to the nearest? This would probably be one of the civilian landing zones that's under the Porg's control.
You know, there's a few of them, but what I hear from my guy on the inside, you know, I got a guy on the inside. What I hear from my guy on the inside is that, you know, the Porg usually hangs out at, you know, kind of the main one that he has, but we should be able to go there. That should not be a problem. I mean, it shouldn't take us too long, right? I don't know. You know what? You got it.
So as the group gathers up anything they need to take with them, I don't know if there's any you guys are leaving behind, or if we're going to come back to this room, I don't know. I don't know if you get...
We call Osra and have her find out what ship Kodai Bobob's coming in on?
She could effort that. I don't know how public that could be, but her being an assistant, and in my mind, assistants know assistants, so there's a chance that she might know someone over there a few rungs down the ladder that might have the information.
She is the people that the other people have to find?
Yeah, I could do a roll for her to see if she has the right connection.
Yeah, that works.
So you're going to give her a call?
Yes.
Yeah, she answers her communicating.
Hey, this is kind of early. I didn't think you'd be up so soon. Is everything okay?
I think so. Why should it not be?
Just Just, you guys were up late last night and you don't really have jobs. I have to get up early for work. I thought normal people slept in.
I may not have a job, but I have a profession.
That is commendable. Yep, that's commendable. Do you need me to...
I mean confession.
Ah, oh, that's a different...
I want to be an auctioneer. Those are two words, right?
Well...
You're supposed to squish them together, Skip.
Ah, there is... I want... Find out for us the ship that Kodai Bobob is coming in on and get back to us right away.
Please.
Okay, do we have anything other than the name? Who's he coming in for?
He is some sort of strange Quarren Zesto Pesto person.
Okay, and he's supposed to be coming in today?
Today or tomorrow. He is the auctioneer for the auction.
And then Skip yawns really loudly, like...
Okay. Okay, maybe you should have gotten some sleep there, Skip. I know a couple people who work for the port. I'll make some calls and see what I can do. We're just looking for a ship. Is that all we're looking for?
Yes, several things. Has the Porg ever worked with Kodai Bobob before? And do many people know that what a Quarren Zesto even looks like?
I have honestly never heard that before in my life. It doesn't sound like a real thing. It sounds like something someone just made up and...
It's a made-up thing, isn't it?
It does sound made up.
Kind of like auctioneer.
It does sound made up. It sounds like someone who sells ears. And that's kind of a weird thing.
I agree.
There's a market for it.
And Anarchy is a supplier.
Allegedly.
That's why they call her the listener.
It's so meta too, because Velvet's so good at listening.
Too many levels.
I know.
Gonna blow somebody's mind in this episode.
She goes,
Just don't take her up on bending the ear.
I'll see what I can find out when he's coming in, or maybe some pictures, or stalk him on social media. He's probably out there somewhere. I'll see what I can find out. Give me a few hours and I'll give you a call back.
No, faster. Faster. We need information quickly.
I'm working right now, but I'll try to squeeze.
I know. It is hard work doing all of this.
I'll get it to you as soon as I can, Skip. I promise.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, tell the madam nothing.
Okay, bye again.
And then you hear the click. All right, so are you guys just going to wait for her, or are you going to head over to the... Are we jumping forward till she has the information, or are you guys going to try to do something while she's doing that?
We should go talk to the jeweler.
Okay.
Okay, Skip's totally asleep in the back of the car, and he's slumped over, and his head's on Jen's lap, and he's like... It looks like he's close to sucking his thumb at this point.
Is he drooling?
Yeah, a little bit of drool. Onto his elbow, though, because, like, it's not on Jen.
He's classy. Yeah.
Jen's just kind of sitting there, like, what do I do with this?
Do you describe that your arms are up and palms open?
Sorry. And she's got her hands up, because she's like, she's not going to rest her hand on him because that would be weird. And she doesn't really want him there, but she wants him to be asleep so that he's rested and hopefully useful.
Like within 5 minutes of getting in the cab, he was making zero sense.
After the whole auction ear conversation, she was a little concerned.
Like, he has a brawn of one, which means his stamina is like really low.
Is lacking. So she's got her hands up. She's kind of looking from him to Anarchy, who grabbed shotgun, I guess.
Just make sure he stays on his side.
Why? Is there a condition I should be aware of?
You could call it that.
That's what Dork always does. That's what he always does. All right.
She's just going to sit there with her hands up, kind of like, okay.
Yeah, Lo kind of looks back, sees him sleeping, and switches the music from his regular nature stuff to like what sounds like a lullaby playing. And you notice he's driving a lot more controlled and slower this time. And he's not cursing nearly as much at the other drivers. And he's trying to make a nice smooth drive. He realizes he's got a sleeping passenger, and he's respectful of that. He's being paid well by Skip, so he's going to take care of him.
Purportedly.
Anarchy never sleeps during a heist, so she's prepping for this bender by just chugging, snorting, and otherwise imbibing like all sorts of little vials she keeps in her pockets.
I'm sure at some point you guys make another stop at the slag pit and you get some coffees and stuff, so when Skip wakes up, you get a have something to get him going, something to jolt him up. And the drive goes smoothly, the nice, relaxing lullabies are playing, and you guys make your way to the fringes of the Corellian sector. It's like borderline Duros. It's like where the poor area becomes the rich area. And you guys pull up in front of a building that is Smiley Jewel. There's a nice sign with a happy face. The mouth opens a little bit and you see a rainbow color of different gems. It smiles and closes.
Is it actually animated? Yeah.
It's like that holographic 3D thing where it just smiles. And no matter how you look at it, it kind of follows you around. It's kind of on the creepy side. You know, Haunted Mansion at Disneyland style.
This is kind of creepy.
Since we have a name now on the way there, I would like to have just basically dug up every available detail of this fellow's life.
Yeah, sure. You know that he is, at least from what is on the web, that guys who run in crime circles, I assume, don't have really big Wikipedia pages.
Maybe they do. Crimepedia.
I don't know. Maybe Anarchy knows about Crimepedia, and there's something where everyone keeps updating stuff. I mean,
oh, she would absolutely know about Crimepedia. she's always like adding in like embarrassing details other criminals.
You're that person.
Truthful or fictional?
It's the ICDB.
I think she just makes it up, and like 5% of the time it turns out to be true, and that just becomes a huge problem.
It's just an educated guess.
Yeah.
The Internet Crime Database.
The Intergalactic Crime Database.
I love it.
You know that they have been on Nar Shaddaa the last 15 years, and they started out as just a legitimate jeweler, and it was that kind of thing where their jewels weren't being appreciated by the rich, and the poor really couldn't afford what they were making. That kind of led them into this kind of seedier life where they do the appraising for these criminals and things like that to make ends meet on the side of actually designing jewels. Jewels is what they do. The appraising kind of pays the bills.
Jewels is the dream, right?
Exactly.
The designing and the...
Yep, jewels gets them up in the morning. Appraising feeds the family. So you guys pull up to the place. It is early.
I kind of flick Skip in the head.
What?
Where?
Oh, I was having a delightful dream.
I'll believe you.
Lo kind of reaches back and hands Skip a drink.
We got you a mocha latte with whipped cream, because I figured you look like a whipped cream guy. You look like kind of a guy who goes for some whipped cream, so we got you some whipped cream. I hope you like it.
I mean, I do like it. It just makes me a little farty.
Well, luckily, you're going to drink it in there. You're not going to be standing out here drinking it out here, because that would be extremely rude.
Okay.
I call shotgun when we leave.
So I assume you don't want Lo going in. He's going to just, you know, do the regular, I'm going to pull around the block type thing and wait for you guys.
Yeah.
So Skip gets out of the car and he just takes his hand over the top of the whipped cream and he just pushes it off the cup away from him.
Does he hide it or does he do it like so Lo can see it?
What? he does it. He's got a presence of five. So whatever he does in this instance would not offend Lo. Right. Because he turns away, flicks it off. It's just whipped cream. Lo's not going to care too much. So because I don't think he's like, I don't think that farting in front of the appraiser will get us appraised very well. He wipes, flicks his hand on the sidewalk several times.
Lo makes a little note, skip, lactose intolerant.
That blue milk really gets to him.
Hey, he's a dedicated Uber driver, man. He's going to make sure he has the right thing for you, Nick. He wants those five stars. All right, as you guys get up to the building, it is early, but the door is unlocked. You notice the sign doesn't really have any business hours. So In this kind of line of work, this guy kind of just does what is needed. If people show up at 2-3 in the morning, that, you know, he works with criminals. They show up at all times. He's learned not to lock his door because it has been broken a few times and people decide they need him for something.
Was I able to uncover any details about his familial unit, just in case we go down that route?
You know, it is just him and his boy. There's his wife is not there. She died. And it's just him and his boy. The boy is like 12, 13, 14-ish. More than capable of defending himself, I guess, in a fight.
Early teens, late tweens.
Exactly.
Jen will get the door.
You open the door and you get that little ding-ding sound as you walk in. And
I just pictured Jen just ripping the door off the hinges and be like, mine, walking away.
I've always wanted one of these.
It's a nice door, man. She does the thing where she opens the door and is kind of looking all around, just trying to be aware of who's around, if anybody's watching, dangers, hazards, etc.
Yeah, you open the door and it's kind of not fully well lit because there's really not a lot. There's no one in there right now. There's low lighting and it looks way nicer than the buildings around it. The inside of this place is what you'd expect to see like on Coruscant. This is an extremely nice jeweler. This guy takes pride in what his place looks like. And maybe that's where he has a hard time selling to poorer people because they don't think they can afford anything he makes because it looks too nice. But it is extremely immaculate. It's clean. Maybe there's even like one of those little rat droids vacuuming the floor like a Roomba as you guys come in.
Is a rat droid different than a mouse droid?
I assume they're a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Can jump farther?
Yeah. Spread more disease, that kind of stuff.
What's the son's name?
It's Harl.
Carl?
Carl?
Yeah. Harl with an H. Carl with, Carl. Carl with Coral? An H.
Is it Coral?
Coral.
Coral.
No. Harl with H-A-R-L.
Harl.
It's a family name. That was his grandfather's name. Way to make fun of his family heritage, but whatever.
As we walk in, do the lights kind of do that flicker, flicker?
Yeah.
Brighten?
Oh, yeah, definitely the halogen. Yeah, they flicker in with a motion detector. The light turns on. And yeah.
And the music starts, and there's a nice wafting scent of vanilla. So it's all very structured and
yeah, that's it.
Engineered presentation. Mm-hmm.
Vanilla with that hint of cinnamon in the air. And the music kind of crinks up just a little bit, and then you see a head pop out from behind one of the doors, and it is, what you know to be Harl. He kind of looks.
Okay, one sec. Dad, non-criminal type people are here for you. They might actually buy something.
Jen tries not to snort at the, assessment.
I am astounded at how he doesn't think we're criminal.
Well, I mean, in his world, criminals are bigger, buffer, more threatening. You guys are fairly petite-ish. At least the two...
I'm a transient, so, yeah, you know, obviously I'm not that threatening. Yes.
Two petite people and a hobo. He's not really cared about.
A sullen hobo. Yes.
So, he's got a mask and a sack of chocolate. Anyone with the right mind would be running for the hills.
Or asking for chocolate.
I'm not wearing socks.
Are you wearing sandals?
No, always like loafers.
You hear from the back the father just go,
ask them what they want. I'm in the middle of something. If they're not going to buy anything, I'm not going to stop. I'm in the zone right now. I can't stop.
He's creating.
Oh, fine, fine. Thank you for coming to our shop. How can I help you? Are you here to buy something or just waste my time?
Yes.
He looks away. He looks at Skip. Looks away from Skip. Looks over at Anarchy. He's wearing a mask. Looks away from Anarchy. Looks over at Jen.
Jen does the half nod, kind of, sup.
Please be sane. Okay, what can I do for you?
He looks back at me. I'm on a horse.
I'm sleep deprived. Skip.
Are you on a horse backwards?
That comes a kick in anyway. Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. The best and easiest way you can help the show is simply by spreading the word on social media. If you want to help us in a more monetary fashion, head over to patreon.com/flightriskpod. If you want to reach out to the show, we can be found on Twitter @flightriskpod and on Facebook.
Is everybody recording? Can everybody see Wiggles?
So many Wiggles.
I see Jeff, and I see Anthony, and I see...
Sorry. Oh my gosh.
Sorry, I know the...
I'm glad you know their names. I didn't.
Well, I know the original. You know that they replaced them with Lucky and Emma and Simon, and Lucky and Emma actually got married.
I didn't even know there was a second Wiggles generation.
I didn't either.
I'm learning so much.
Yep, red, yellow, and purple retired. Blue is still going on.
Good for them.
Sorry. And you work with kids and you have a kid, you just get sucked into that kind of crap.
No, I'm glad you know.
I'm glad somebody does, I guess.
I'm glad mine don't ask me for Wiggles trivia. They just talk about Fortnite.